Hey, how's it going? Glad you clicked on. Look, the world is full of mystery. You already know that. And some things, some mysteries you can go visit. Have you ever been out to a mystery on the West Coast? There's one you could take your whole family to. And how about the word Fabry? Have you ever heard of it? Well, it's a disease and it's not pleasant. Could you get it? This and two other randomly strange topics are on the show today. So stick around and see what you find out.
Welcome to High Strangeness, where we ask questions and explore all that is strange and unexpected in our reality.
Welcome to High Strangeness. I'm Tony, and this is a place where we talk about all things strange and unexpected in our reality. Today, I have a friend of the show and a co-host, Ron Mason, on with us today. And today, we're going to do a random strangeness episode where we cover three or four topics that are just random and strange, and we share our thoughts and we tell you a little bit about it so that you can take a look deeper into it if you really want to. So with that, here we go, Ron. We're going to do random strangeness one more time.
Okay.
So I want to ask you, Ron, summertime. Any cool vacations planned for you this year?
We're going to Phenomicon.
There you go.
Yeah. I'm saving up my vacation for that. And then in October, of course, I have to save some time for our anniversary. So.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
It sounds like you got it all planned out. I'm hoping to go to Phenomicon as well. That's the plan anyway.
I hope so.
And if so, we'll hang out and do some stuff there because that was a great blast last year when we went.
Yeah, I was so glad to meet you. I mean, that was one of the best things that came out of it. I mean, it was great, but I made a friend out of it. And how unlikely it was, and how unexpected. All I did was sit next to you.
It was unexpected, and it was cool the way it kind of just evolved.
Yeah.
And I really am glad that happened. So.
Yeah, so am I.
Well, here we go. Random strangeness and. I want to ask you a question. Is there a film genre that you really like? Is there a type of film? You know, maybe it's musicals, maybe it's war, maybe it's science fiction. What is your thing, Ron? Is there something you love?
Well, it depends on what age I was when you asked me that question. When I was a kid, I loved musicals. Grease, Best Little Whorehouse in Texas. Two of my favorite movies. I mean, when everybody was all freaking out about Star Wars, I was freaking out about Grease.
Yeah.
I liked Star Wars. I mean, I went and seen it like twice, but man, Grease really, you know, so when I was younger, Grease, but now my favorite movie is Braveheart.
Yeah.
So that kind of, you know, Gladiator, Braveheart, you know, things like that. The Passion of the Christ, very, you know, epic kind of movies. I've always been to Ten Commandments, even when, you know, the old Charlton Heston version.
Wow.
I mean, those type of movies. Yes.
Yeah. I love those too. Well, you know, one of the big things that was a big hit for like 10 years, it feels like, is all those zombie movies. You remember, I don't even remember what they were called. There were several series that were out that everybody in the office and stuff, they were all talking about, did you see this episode? And there were all kinds of crazy things. I just never got into it. But I can't remember what it was even called, but it was zombie flicks.
What era?
It was a big deal. So I feel like it stopped happening about 5 years ago, but it felt like it was about the previous 5 or 10 years. I don't know.
I like the one with Will Smith. That was really good. I Am Legend.
Yeah,
that was really good.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, the one I'm referring to, I think, was on cable. Or something. It was on
Fear of the Walking Dead. The Walking Dead.
Yes, that's it. Yeah. People were like into that big time.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't love it, but cool effects. But yeah, a lot of people were really into it. But it reminds me that genre reminds me of something we're going to talk about early on here, which, you know, when you think of zombies, they've got black eyes, right? Or they're, you know, they're kind of sunken. Their skin's kind of aging and it's tearing away and just, you know, all that kind of stuff. You can just see there's something wrong with that body, that person who's approaching you. And so our random strangeness topic, the first one is going to kind of remind us of that, as we talk about something called alcapitonuria. I hope that's how you say it. Alcapitonuria. Yeah. It's A-K-U, and it's also known as the black urine disease. Have you ever heard of that?
Oh.
Me either.
This is new to me.
Before this. Yeah. In fact, what would you do if you started peeing black fluid? I'd get scared. Like, did I just die? What happened?
Yeah, I'd be going to the emergency room.
For sure. Yeah. So, you know, it's funny. I'll just share something. I knew somebody years ago. I was probably early 20s. A guy I knew, he was a real heavy drinker. And one time we were all together and he went into the restroom and he came out. He was just flipping out. He was going crazy. He's like, I'm pooping tar. I'm pooping tar. Oh, and yeah. He got it on the side of the, it was like running out of him. And he got it on the side of the toilet a little bit. And a few of us were like, what do you mean? And we went and looked at it. And it looked like tar. And really what it turned out to be is he had some GI bleeding.
Mm-hmm.
And it started to, you know, it just turned black inside of him and it came out. So
yeah.
I remember how freaked out he was. I could only imagine if you're peeing something like black fluid, mm-hmm. what that would do. That would really throw some people off.
Throw me off.
Yeah, for sure. So this is a disorder that we're going to talk about. It's an inherited disorder that results in the buildup of a chemical called hemogenic acid. Tissic acid in the body, and it actually stains your tissues. So it's a black substance. Your body can't get rid of it, and it starts to stain your body. So here we go. Mm-hmm. On the screen, we have a picture for those who can't see it. It's somebody's hand. It just looks like it's dirty.
Mm-hmm.
But this is the beginning effects of this disease, where it starts to change the color of your skin. So the condition prevents the body from entirely breaking down two amino acids, and those amino acids or that effect causes the body pigmentation to change to this dark color.
Is this disease is it life-threatening?
We're going to get into it.
Okay.
We're going to get into it. Yeah. Good question, right? I know you're thinking it. Everybody's thinking that. They're thinking, okay, it changes the color of your skin. Well, there's some other things that happen here. Let's see here. This is a beginning sign. If you can see in her eyes, so we have a picture of a young lady and her eyeballs there, and you can start seeing a shade of darkness showing up in her eye. This is an early sign of this pigmentation problem that starts showing up. And I'll move on to the next picture where you can see it gets worse, right?
Wow. Yeah.
Pigmentation starts to show up in the cartilages of the ears and other places in your body, around your eyes. And now she's starting to look like a zombie.
Yeah.
A little bit. Yeah. So if you know somebody that has this, what are you going to do, right? Here's some other pictures here. Wow. Kind of scary. If somebody had this, you know something's not right.
Absolutely.
That's for sure.
Yeah.
In young children and even young adults, their urine may turn brown or inky black if collected and exposed over time in the open air. So it may not come out dark at first when they're young, but if it sits out, they don't flush the toilet or whatever, it can turn that dark color.
Mm.
Yeah. So there's this pee thing. And some of these other physical signs of discoloration are signs of this condition. And it actually gets much worse after the age of 30. So after the age of 30, people begin to develop pain in weight-bearing joints, their spine, their hips, their knees. And the pain can be pretty severe to the point that it interferes with activities of daily life and may affect their ability to even work. So you were asking the progression of this, right? So we'll keep going here, but what starts off as something pretty benign, like maybe the discoloration of your hand, all of a sudden, over time starts getting worse and worse. Wow. Joint replacement hip surgery is often necessary at a pretty young age, like the 30s, in your 30s. Mm. In longer term situations, spinal joints lead to the reduction of movement, rib cage pain. It affects breathing. Your bone mineral density starts to drop. You start having fractures easy, and then ruptures of your tendons, muscles. So, whoa, right?
I thought the way this was, couldn't get any heavier, but man, that was,
yeah. Whew,
these are awesome.
So, if that wasn't it, right? Here's a couple more things that happen. So I bring this up because people, if they start having this problem, they need to get it checked out. Don't put it aside. Don't think it's going to stop. You start having valvular heart disease where the valves in your heart start to fail. They'll need to be replaced. There's irregularities in heart rhythm. You can have heart failure, kidney stones leading to gallstones, prostate problems. It just keeps going. It's like you start falling apart and your quality of life just goes down, down, down.
Yeah.
So what do you think about that? Huh?
What quality of life?
Right?
Wow. I mean, before you start really being affected physiologically in your bone structure and all that falling apart, you got all this going on with your outward appearance that makes it probably very, very difficult for these people to want to be seen in public.
Exactly.
I mean, horrible.
Yeah, and unfortunately, a lot of this is here in America, Canada, places like that. You know, there's healthcare, but some of these third world countries, if they get this, forget it. There's nothing they're going to do about it.
If I leave the house with bed hair, I'm conscious about what people might think. You know, where's my hat? Not to make light of this. I'm just using that as a very small example of what caring about your appearance and what people think, you know, about your appearance, about you. That guy's a slob, you know, or this, you know, or the guy doesn't care one bit about it. He doesn't even brush his teeth. Did you smell that guy's breath? You know, these poor people, man, they can't hide it. They can't hide.
No, they can't. It's crazy.
Oh, man.
It occurs in 1 in 250,000 people is what they say.
A lot.
But it's more common in Slovakia and the Dominican Republic. I can't talk today. Slovakia and the Dominican Republic. I don't know why. They didn't really say why it happens there more frequently, but they're, you know, two different ends of the world and it happens there a lot. So crazy. But there is a little better news. The good news is that there's a drug that came out in 2020 that's been approved in Europe that actually can halt this disease where it's at. Doesn't repair it, but if you catch it early, it'll stop it at that point. So okay. That's a good thing.
Good. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know that it's approved here in the United States yet. So I hope it does, because I'm sure it needs to be.
That should be approved worldwide without a question, hands down. Anything that comes out that can stop any kind of medical condition like this, even the smallest things, it shouldn't be any fight with the FDA about it, or the big pharma, whatever you want to call it. Get this stuff to the people, make it affordable, so even the people in the lowest brackets of economic society can afford these things. Why would you hold that from? Why would you keep that from somebody if it can help them?
Right, I agree. So for some reason, normally I cover one disease here in Random Strangeness, but I have two. So we're going to jump into the second one, and it's called Fabry. Yeah. So just like the one we just talked about, our body, of course, is amazing. It does so much to take care of things, to filter out things, change things, just all the processes to keep our body running right. This disease, Fabry, is another one where that the body can't digest things properly, and so there's a problem. So Fabry, also called AKU, where the body loses its ability to manage chemical processes, and the disease actually is, they're not able to actually process and get rid of fatty substances, lipids. So it's a deficiency, an enzyme deficiency, and then it can't break things down and it just creates more problems. So it progressively leads to cell damage. And so this picture we have here, the person's having pain and discomfort in their joints, but it does progress to different things. So this is a picture of some of the spots and stuff. It starts to develop in the body because the lipids can't be removed correctly, and then you start getting these discolorations and these sorts of things. Show a couple more pictures here. Do you have any thoughts about that?
I wasn't expecting the butt shot, but no, that's that'd be another thing that would be very troubling, you know, for me if I woke up one day and I had these, you know, these rashes or whatever these are on my body. It'd be scary.
You'd be thinking, what's going on?
What's going on with me? Yeah, and then the pain that's associated with it. You were saying, I have arthritis, you know, and bursitis. So I know what it's like to have your mobility, you know, taken from you, and the ability to, you know, bone on wrists and shoulders and you know, other places. It's you don't sleep well. You feel robbed. I mean, sometimes I had to get past that. It bothered me for a while that I couldn't do the things I used to do. Sounds like they have symptoms similar to what arthritis would do to you.
Yeah, that's correct. And actually a few additional ones. So for instance, it is a wide range of symptoms, some of them getting more severe and life-threatening, such as kidney failure, heart failure, strokes, and all this happening at a pretty young age, if not caught and dealt with.
A lot of these, that seems to be a trend of young people. I mean, you're not supposed to fall apart until you've lived a ripe, you know, to a ripe old age. Usually
that's what we expect, right?
Yeah. I mean, it doesn't mean you're not going to be completely spared, you know, broken bones and maybe, you know, some things like that to the minor extent. But these people, I mean, at a young age, they're robbed of their youth and these diseases. These are horrible. Why are you showing these to me?
Yeah, I know, right?
I'm depressed.
So it's crazy. This can happen to males, females, any ethnic group, any cultural background. So they don't really know. It just kind of happens across the board. They call it a classic condition if it starts with children, but there really is also a non-classic version that can start later in life too. So you just got to watch it throughout the whole point of your life. I guess it can happen at any time. So treatment, enzyme replacement therapy, transfusions, it's a long-term therapy. It does result in reduced pain and organ function stability, but there's not a quick fix here.
Kind of looks like the chicken pox.
Yeah, exactly. Here's another picture of just how it's affecting somebody a little bit different too.
Ooh.
Yeah, there's a lot of swelling in the lower extremities.
Oh.
Yeah.
That's got to be painful. That looks painful.
Yeah,
good.
Yeah. Pretty uncomfortable. So this is a genetic disease that can run in families, but it can be identified early. It's pretty rare, fortunately. Yeah. In fact, it's so rare that a lot of times doctors, when they run across this, they really don't know what it is. They'll be like, oh, I may have heard about it in medical school, but it was like a one-day discussion. Yeah. Now, reporting suggests, you know, we're thinking about frequency here. Reporting suggests that 1 in 120,000 up to 1 in 500,000 might have this condition. But it's not reported enough for them to really have a good tracking on this. So males' life expectancy, if you don't deal with this, can change from 74 years of age down to 58 years of age.
Mm.
Women, they seem to last a little longer. Women, 80 years to 75 years.
Okay.
But still, it sure shaves off some time from your life, doesn't it?
It sure does. And I guess that's almost merciful.
It's right. Yeah, it's crazy. Mm. Okay, enough of these depressing physical conditions.
What do you got next for me? My goodness.
Okay, the next place, much more lighthearted. It's a strange place that people can visit. It's actually in your neck of the woods. Have you ever been to the mystery spot?
Oh, yes, I have.
Yeah.
As a kid, yes.
Love the mystery spot. It's so cool. So about, yeah, went there about 8 or 9 years ago. I took the whole family. We were out there and I saw it somewhere and I said, whoa, I saw pictures and I thought that can't be real. I'm going to go there. So I took the family there and it is a bizarre place. The mystery spot, Santa Cruz, California. And you remember this?
I must have been about 12, 13 yeah. when I went there.
Yeah.
So I just remember being there. I remember watching the ball roll down when it should be rolling up. I remember standing on one side of that line and being shorter and then going to the other and I was taller and it looks like you're actually going uphill.
Right.
It was a really neat place. That's all I remember about it. I just remember being there and it was a lot of fun.
I mean, I tell people if you can go see this place, you should, because you'll be, it's weird. I mean, so yeah. I had several kids that were younger, early teens. Some of them were older, late teens, into the early 20s. And, you know, the older ones were like, yeah, we're going to see if this thing's real, right? We're going to really debunk this. And we all left there going, what the heck happened? What's going on there? This is really, really weird.
Yeah.
So I don't know if you felt this. I personally, when I was in this building and I was standing sideways, I started to feel nauseous.
Mm. Really?
So, yeah, I don't really know. There's some kind of gravitational thing for sure.
Hmm. Interesting. I saw these guys went there and tried to figure out this whole place.
Mm-hmm.
And they found that, I don't remember if it was all, but most of it was not so much that it was your stand, you know, it was how it was built and what, and it was built at different levels and they built at a different angles to just really disorient. They did it that way on purpose. And, but I don't know if it's all, that explains everything that's weird about that place.
Yeah.
But they were able to figure out some of it. Yeah.
Yeah, and I think there's a portion of it that they can't still determine what's going on. So apparently it's a gravitational anomaly located there by the Redwood Forest area. And there's a circular area that it's challenging for them to try to figure out what it is. So one write-up, if you look at a pamphlet, it says, "You will be stunned as your perceptions of the laws of physics and gravity are questioning, as you question them." And I personally kind of agree. Like, toured the whole place, walked through the whole place, and there were certain portions of that place that it just did not make sense to me. So, I don't know. It's cool and strange.
Yeah.
Put another picture on here real quick.
We
did that. We actually did that because I remember seeing a picture of it and I said, we got to go see if that's real. We actually did that. It was really bizarre.
It's been so long. I can't, honestly, I mean, I can't speak you know, logically about this place, because it's been so many years since I've been there.
Yeah.
It's been 40 something years since I've been there. So I don't remember enough about the place. I just remember being there and being fascinated by it as a kid.
Yeah.
Look at that. Wow.
Well, and you know, to be honest, as I'm there and I'm trying to figure it out, the biggest and weirdest part to me is there where I was, right there where that lady is. Mm-hmm. That's where I felt sick. Mm. Like something, I felt disoriented. Not by looking around. I felt it in my gut. It was weird.
Well, look at the people standing outside and then look at her. They're facing the same direction. They're both, so the house was built in a way, it seems there. Well, then, but then if you go to the right, the people are not.
Right.
You see the people in the left window, the person outside, slanting with her, and then the people over here are this way. Huh.
Bizarre.
Yeah.
So just a little bit of history for people. The mystery spot was discovered in 1939 by a group of surveyors, and they opened it up to the public in 1940. Some people, you know, there's always going to be beliefs from different people. Some people say they think that something was placed underground by extraterrestrials, buried in the earth, and that there's a guidance system for spaceships out there. Some think that it's in fact a spacecraft buried deep under the ground. They're going to have all kinds of things. They're going to think all kinds of things.
Let's bury a spaceship so they can build this place.
Right? Yeah, it's crazy. Other theories are carbon dioxide permeating from the earth, a hole in the ozone layer, some kind of magma vortex underneath. Mm. Yeah, there's all kinds of theories. But it's a fun place to go. And you'll leave. Well, I'm gonna say to everybody out there, if anybody's been there and you're watching this, put a comment in. Let us know what you think. What did you know? What was your experience? Mine was bizarre and strange. I left there going, "What was that?" So, I'm curious what other people think. Ron, you were young. You thought it was fascinating, but can't remember the details. So let's see, people. What do you think? Let's see here. Another picture. There goes the outside of the house. Yeah, I mean, it's like it's sliding down the hill or something.
Yeah. It looks like you... It's almost disorienting looking at it.
Right.
And I think you were talking about earlier when you felt nauseous, you know, the electromagnetic field, you know, gravity, you know, anomalies like you were talking about, things like that would cause those kind of effects on a human body, from what I understand.
Yeah.
And then you build something a little off kilter and add to that.
Yeah, because then you're getting it physically and your senses as well.
Yeah.
For sure. So I want to say to everybody out there, the Mystery Spot, it's a fun place. It's actually pretty affordable, if I remember correctly. We spent a few hours there, a couple hours. The whole family did. I think there's like a 40-minute tour. Like they take you through it and explain stuff. But you can pretty much hang out, and there's actually places to hike around there as well. So it's definitely a fun place, inexpensive, unless they've changed that over the last few years. But a cool place worth checking out if you are in Santa Clara, California. The Mystery Spot. Crazy. Wow.
That is crazy. Wow. How can they be this way and then he be this way?
Right.
You see that?
Yeah.
Interesting.
Okay. It's one of those places that you might want to check out, people. Oh, and there's a pretty cool gift store there, too. If you want to buy supply, you know, souvenirs, that sort of thing, and say you went there, you'll be able to do it. There's a little gift store and that sort of thing. Okay. Mystery Spot. Ready to move on to the next one?
Yeah, sure.
Okay, Ron, Star Wars. I know you remember that movie. Everybody knows what that movie is. Mm. What was the funniest looking character to you in Star Wars? I'll tell you what mine was in just a minute.
Oh, wow. The funniest. Well, obviously, there was like Yoda. There was Jabba the Hutt. I mean,
that's the one I was going to pick, Jabba the Hutt.
There's a few. There's a few in that little bar scene when they go in there, and they had some interesting characters in that bar scene. The one with the little pinhead, the one that was going to kill, Han Solo.
right. Well, this next cryptid reminds me of Jabba the Hutt. Not quite as big. He kind of looks like Jabba the Hutt. And guess what he's called? The Squonk. The Squonk.
Oh, wow. Looks like Squonk me. It kind of looks the
name
like Yoda.
The name fits, doesn't it? The name kind of fits.
Oh, cute. He's cute.
He is, yeah. So everybody who's not able to see this, if you're listening to this episode, should probably check it out on YouTube. But this is a cute little version of Jabba the Hutt to me. Just the folds and everything like that.
Yeah, it kind of looks like an armadillo.
Yeah.
Rabbit ears.
So let's take a look at the next picture. Never mind. This one looks a lot more like Jabba the Hutt with really big eyes. Well, the first written account of the Squonk was from the 1910 book Fearsome Creatures of the Lumber Woods. One book suggested that the creatures had migrated from across the country, desert to swamps, and finally settled in Pennsylvania. So the Squonk is a Pennsylvania cryptid. Oh, this one looks sad.
Yeah.
And I included this picture because it actually goes along with the story. So the Squonk has a very retiring disposition is what they say. Generally, it travels about at twilight and in dusk because of its misfitting skin, which is covered with warts and moles, and it's always unhappy. Hunters who are good at tracking this thing are able to follow the Squonk by its tear-stained trail. For the animal, it just weeps. It's always crying. It's always sad. Constantly. When cornered of escaping, it actually just dissolves into its own tears and becomes a puddle. So let's recap. It's a pig-like creature with saggy skin, warts, and moles. And it's so ashamed of its appearance that it weeps constantly.
Poor guy.
Where in the world did this come from?
I don't know.
I personally couldn't find any sightings that people say they saw this thing. So I really don't know where it comes from. It might just be like the jackalope or something like that. You know what I mean?
Yes. Or go snipe hunting or something.
Yeah.
Like if I saw something like this, I wouldn't try to hunt it. I would try to comfort it.
Right. Poor thing.
Yeah.
Pennsylvania Squonk. If anybody knows any more about this, leave us a comment. I'm curious because
never heard.
There's not a lot out there on it in terms of people seeing it. It's just kind of like a historical, mythical thing. So
it's obviously folklorish. Yeah. One of those ones that it's almost like a bedtime story.
Right. Yeah.
Metaphor.
So, okay. Are you ready to jump into something completely different?
Let's do it.
Next completely random topic. So I actually put together some of these ideas last year and scheduled them out. And at the time, this was a topic that was strange, but by Elon Musk and Doge.
Oh, wow.
Right? Okay. So the topic here was going to be wasteful spending. But he's finding all this stuff. So it's kind of crazy. So this list is going to be huge based on stuff he's found. But I do have a few on here that I want to share. So what sorts of things have been found? Check this out. Old schools, firehouses, offices that aren't being used anymore, but the government still holds them in ownership and they're still maintaining them. About 770,000 unused or underused buildings nationwide as of 2016.
And they're still maintaining them?
Yeah. This one doesn't look like it's being maintained very well, but maybe they're doing something on the outside of this one. But rather than tear it down or do anything with it, they just keep it in ownership. So
it doesn't even look structurally sound.
This like one doesn't. No.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly. I mean, it's probably just a poor example of what you're talking about. But why would you? I mean, so what? That means they have a maintenance team. That means they might have a landscaping team. Is there any? I mean, is there electricity being used at these facilities? Right. That is what that would be considered wasteful spending to me. If you're not going to use it, and you should either condemn it, tear it down, or sell it.
Let somebody do something with it.
Yeah.
So some of the things that I read and pulled up when I was doing this was the buildings don't just sit there, even though that they're empty. They require maintenance, such as basic power, lawns being mowed, pipes being taken care of so they don't freeze and break. The cost has added up to around $1.7 billion to maintain this as of a story done by the NPR. Wow. That's wasteful spending.
Why hasn't somebody lost their, well, maybe they are losing their jobs. Why? I mean, just right. Explain exactly. To me why. Give me a good reason. Just give me one good reason. I might listen to a good reason if you give it to me. Help me make sense of that.
Well, and people wonder, you know, with Elon Musk and Doge, are they making some of this up, the stuff that they're finding? But they're not. I mean, there's tons of this. And yeah. Why? So we need to get that corrected. That's a lot of money.
Well, I know a lot of people, you hear it. I mean, you can't be shielded from it all that people are outraged that they're doing this.
Right.
And I think they have to temper some of that outrage.
Yeah.
That there are obviously is that annually the billion, 1 point something?
What did I say? Let's see. Yeah, every year. That's annually.
Why be, okay, you don't have to like this man. You don't have to agree with this man. But why not also turn some of that outrage onto the people who have been spending however many billions of dollars you said of your taxpayer dollars.
All right.
Be outraged at that as well. Share that outrage. Don't just be angry because start burning up his cars because you don't like the man and who he works for. This is a big deal. This is one thing you found. And that's outrageous to me. That's outrageous to me. I mean, I don't see how anybody could not be outraged by something like that, or at least be angry or troubled.
Yeah, I mean, look, here's the thing. Like, there's some debate about how money should be spent, but really, this is not the right way. So whether you want to put it in defense or you want to put it in entitlements, whatever you want, whichever end of the spectrum you are, $1.7 billion a year would be very helpful going anywhere.
Anywhere.
Anything like that.
Yeah,
right?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
You know, I mean,
so this is just one example.
It'd be like owning a home, and just letting it rot and paying the property taxes on it every year, and then letting it get condemned, and then you've just wasted that property. Sell it. Somebody might be able to use this, or buy that, tear it down, and use that land for something else.
Very true. You ready for this next one?
Barbie.
This one. Fraudsters use the faces of Barbie dolls as profile pictures to apply for Small Business Administration's Pandemic Paycheck Protection Program funds. And they got away with it. And I mean, you're going to kill me. I put down somewhere how much it was, and I didn't put it in my notes.
Oh. $1.3 billion. No, I don't know.
If it was 10 bucks, it was too much. But it was a large number. I do remember it being a significant amount of money, up to millions. That money was sent out. And this was the profile picture for the application.
That's the profile.
Yes, this and other Barbie faces. And they got away with it.
Wow.
Yeah.
I wish. Why didn't I think of that?
I know. It's crazy. Okay. This is, you know, all you have to do is look at what Doge is posting and you'll see examples, maybe not like this, but crazy examples.
Somebody's just not paying attention or they don't care.
Yeah. So this one, this picture here, last year, $10 million in taxpayer money was spent on transgender animals, monkeys, things like that. How do you even know an animal's a transgender?
You don't. They're not.
That does, yeah, it makes no sense. It's crazy.
Are you trying to rile me up on purpose?
I'm telling you. Listen to this next one, and this will be one of the last ones we talk about. But $38 million in COVID payments to who? Dead people.
Well, that's not surprising. It was everything that we're hearing.
Yeah, exactly.
Social Security, everything. What was it? 20 million people plus 30 million, maybe, and climbing.
Yeah.
Well, I think it's, what did he call it? A money laundering scheme of some kind.
Right.
Yeah. This is truly, that's what it seems like. It's got to be a money laundering scheme of some kind.
It's criminal. Yeah.
It's very criminal. If people aren't going to jail, I mean, instead of like, once again, instead of attacking this man because he's finding these things, I mean, maybe they're, I don't think it's because he's finding them out. They're buying into the media hysteria, and because somebody big doesn't want, you know, there's people, there's names attached to this fraud.
Right.
Yeah. And so they're going to just try to attack and anger the people to rally them around them, you know, or whoever. It's selective outrage. It really is.
Right. Right. Well, look, this next example is the smallest, least amount, but it's still gives an example of just the blatant poor choices. So this particular example is the Pentagon spending $9,000 on a lobster tank from a restaurant equipment company. $9,000 on just a tank for, you know, lobsters to put up there. It's really not tons of money, but it's just, you know, like, who approves this? Like, who's the person that said, I like that idea, let's go do that? It just shows an atmosphere of not caring about stuff.
You remember on Independence Day when the father says, do you really think they spend $5,000 on a hammer or whatever, however the money was?
Right.
They all, no, really what they did is they spent $2 on the hammer and the rest of the money went to something else.
Right.
That must be, right. I think that would be what's going on here. What do you think?
Well, I think it's crazy. That's for sure. And it's real. People, like we were talking about, they're getting upset. But my biggest thing is this, Ron, how's this any different than how we manage our own budgets and our own money? You know, one of the things I've gotten a conversation with people about before is my litmus check here is that just if the government is doing something different than you and I do personally in our household, it seems wrong. If I have a budget, they should have a budget. If I have a door on my house, we should have borders on our land. If I am sitting there being careful about how I spend money and I have to pick and choose where my money goes, the government should be doing it. So I don't see where there's an argument here. It should be the same thing we do personally in our lives. So
Yeah, you're right. Your home's going to collapse if you overspend over your budget. Your business is going to fail if you spend more than you're bringing in.
Right.
How are these people still have jobs is beyond me, first of all, because I, you know, if I did, if you're stealing from your bosses, where they're supposed to be working for us. You're stealing from us. You're stealing from us. I'd have been fired if I'd have done this to my company. Right. I'd have been fired. Not only that, I'd be in jail.
True.
If they take away the protections of these of our lawmakers and our, you know, there would be a lot less of this if people were just going to jail for doing these things, and they should, because we would. I don't understand how they're allowed to just get away with this. I mean, for decades, it's been happening forever.
Right.
There should be people. A lot of people probably should be in jail. I believe.
And I think that's why we have such strained feelings in society, because of the haves and have-nots, because of the double standards and all kinds of things like that. But a lot of this is blatant. It's bad.
criminal.
And I do think, whether people like it or not, we need some kind of correction of this. And Doge seems to be the tool to do it at this point. So
I think it was the only way to do it.
Yeah.
I mean, honestly, I mean, I know a lot of people really are alarmed by how it's being done, you know, and, you know, by somebody who's not an elected official. I mean, a lot of people have a problem with that. He's appointed. And I've heard a lot of the arguments, but how else it's going to take a leader at the very top to go in like this and appoint somebody at this in a group of people to just say, you know what, this, we're doing this, and you either work with us or there's going to be a problem. Give us what we're asking for. And if we find that you shredded these documents, we're going to charge you with a felony, and it's not going to be good for you. Give it over. Why? What do you have to hide? You shouldn't. These are not documents. If you have nothing to hide, hand them over, and there's going to be no problem. We're going to find nothing. We'll go back to business as usual.
Right. Yeah.
Hot topic.
Hey, look. Sorry, people. We got a little political here, but it's real. I mean, it's a real situation, and you know, when you look at this, you've got Trump. He's on the Republican side. Elon, you know, really historically was on the left side. So you got two people from two different sides coming together to fix something. I think it should be respected. But anyway, yeah. I'm sure there are a lot of emotions there. But hey, we've been all over the place on this random strangest episode. Crazy. All over the place. So let me ask you this. What was your most, which topic stood out to you the most in today's episode?
I like the mystery spot. Yeah. It made me think about when, you know, I was 12 years old and innocent and didn't care less about Doge.
Yeah.
You know, and I apologize to anybody watching. I really don't like to get into politics. I get dragged into a conversation sometimes, whether it's a coworker or whatever, or I hear something, I get a little, you know, but for the most part, man, I try not to let that bug me much. The mystery spot was a really neat place, and those pictures reminded me of when I was a kid. And that's what stood up to me. Yeah.
Totally fun. I enjoyed pretty much all the topics. The first one or two were sad again, but important to be aware of and to know for everybody. But yeah, I think in the end, I'm going to remember the squonk. That poor crying little cryptid. Well, there we go. Ron, we did it. We got through another random, strangest episode.
I don't know if I have another one of these in me. Oh,
I know. It's crazy, right? All Those, over the place.
We'll just leave the diseases out.
I know. It's crazy.
It wear me out.
Well, as we wrap up, everybody, thank you once again for listening. And hey, if you like what we're doing here, subscribe. And it helps a small channel like this to be able to do more and to get more content out. So please do that. Help us out. And once again, Ron, thanks for being on the show. Great hanging out with you and chatting.
Thank you.
And for the rest of you out there, remember, there's a lot of strange and unexpected in our reality. So always keep your eyes, ears, and minds open. Until next time, do what? Stay safe. All right. Take care, everybody. See you, Ron.
See you.
Thank you for listening to High Strangeness. This was a glance at some of the strange that exists in our reality.